right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we worship you. There's nothing good in this world besides you. You are the every good and perfect gift comes from you from above. And so we invite you to do your work in our hearts and in our church. Apart from you, we can do nothing. In you is rest. So we wait upon you. We are expectant, we have hope, and we have joy, knowing that you will meet with us. In the name of Jesus, amen. First of all, I'd like to welcome you to South Church. I don't know if you got an official welcome. Welcome to all of you. And I wanted to start off with just talking about a little bit about what's been going on in my life. It's been an interesting season of quarantine for me. I had a bit of isolation. I had a fever, and I had to wait for my lab results, and that was a pretty trying time for me just being by myself. And that's when I realized that one of the worst things in life is being by yourself and being in your own head and being isolated. And so that's why I'm very grateful just to have the gift of people. And one of my favorite people here is Joanna. I know that she loves me, and she'll pray for me. Oh, thank you, Joanna. So I'm thankful for all of your love. And one of the things I've been learning about is the role of obedience in the life of a Christian. I know that sounds very theological and very seminarian, which may be true, but I'm going to make it real. I'm going to make it honest and from my heart. It's just stuff I've been learning. So what we're going to turn to is Genesis 3. And I know this is a story that everyone knows. What's in Genesis 3? Does anyone know? My brother just walked in the room, my twin brother Logan. So Genesis 3 talks about the very beginning. And in the very beginning, God is very close to man, and they're living in very close relationship. And that should be perfect, right? That should be, there's nothing wrong there. But something goes terribly wrong. And what is the root of the disagreement? It's the understanding of, why would God make a rule? Why would someone make a rule that doesn't make any sense? And so what happens in Genesis 3 is, they're in the Garden of Eden, and the serpent is in the garden, and he asks, why did God really say? And so at its very core, we won't go theological, but it's questioning God. Why would a good God make a rule? And so here's what I've learned, and here's where we're going in this message. Here it is. Obedience leads to death. Now bear with me. Obedience leads to death, which leads us to God, which leads us to life, which leads us to love and freedom. So we're going to make that simple. If there were no rules in the garden, I'm not sure that Adam would have focused on God. I think he probably would have focused on naming the animals and looking at Eve and enjoying life, but he would have missed out on the whole point. And the whole point was God. And that's a very dangerous thing when we question God's rules. And so this is how it worked in my life. God has given us rules. And for me, how does this work? One of the rules that I would follow was, I want to please Christ. I want to obey God. I want to be perfect. And so in my life, how would that work? I would try to be led by the Spirit. I would try to read the Bible perfectly. I would try to pray perfectly. I would try to tell everyone about Jesus. I would try to be free. Even trying to be free can be a law, trying to earn your place with God, and that's not good either. And so what I found in my life was this. The rules were a very good thing, because when I tried to keep them, I realized I fail. And the more I fail, and the more I fail, and the more I fail, I keep going until I despair of life itself, and I know I cannot save myself. I am not the point of life. I have no pleasure or joy in myself. Failing at the rules leads me to God himself, which is the point. And so when I obey God's rules, I lead myself to death. I can't save myself, which leads me upward to God. And I focus on him. And that's the place where I've come to in my life. I've been in a season in life where I've been so trapped in my head. I've been so confused. I've been so fearful even that I've lost sight of the whole point. And that's a very good thing. So I want to remind all of us, no matter where you are, the most dangerous place to be is when life is good. Because when life is good, we get distracted by what are my favorite things to be distracted by? For me, it was going on mission trips. I love to serve God. I love to do his will, but it distracted me from him. But when life was bad, I turned my eyes back to him, and that's the whole point. And so the next question we turn to is this. What is the role of freedom in obedience? So God establishes rules to lead us to him. When we realize we fail the rules, we cry out to God, and we realize that he can save us. When he saves us, he comes to live in us. And that is the act of redemption, that God himself comes and lives in us. I don't think we're understanding that truth, so we're going to talk about it a little more. Has anyone here ever seen God walking down the street in Hartford? Who's walked down Main Street? Who's seen the New York? What is the name of that cafe right there? The New York Deli? Yeah. Has anyone here ever seen God with their eyes? No, because it's not possible to see God with your physical eyes on the earth. And so we have to know God in a different way. And so how does that work on the earth? When we pray to him and he comes to live in us, we know him in an even more intimate way. And what are some of the marks of having the very life of God inside of us? Does anyone know it? Who here has God living inside of them? How has it changed them? Logan, what is one way that God has changed your heart or ministered himself to you, revealed himself to you in your heart? What's one characteristic of God that he's formed in your heart? Yeah, perfect. You're right on, my brother. Can always count on him. So what he's basically saying is that when God comes to live in us, he makes our hearts just like him. And what are some of the marks of God? Joy. You can't manufacture joy. Love, peace, rest, those things. And when those things get in us, what happens? They just come right out, and it's free, and it just happens. And it's no longer coerced, it's no longer forced, but it's natural, and it comes out. And for me, how that is represented is, I like to wear a pair of Crocs. Raise your hand if you've ever seen me wearing my pair of Crocs. That's a pretty good number of us. What color are my Crocs? What's my favorite color? So for me, knowing God and having him inside of me allows me to be fully myself, not to have to prove myself to God, not even have to prove myself to myself or to others, but to rest. And so for me, the mark of being close to God and having him inside of me is being free. And what does that look like? For me, it's represented by my trip to China. I used to want to be a missionary to China. And so in 2017, I got the chance to fly to Beijing on a 13-hour plane ride. Has anyone here ever been on a plane ride that long? You have? No. It's pretty brutal. Yeah, you would pass out. So I went to China to try to find my own freedom. But what I found was I was already free because I knew God. And he's the point of all of life. And so I don't have to obey myself or make myself free. But when I focus on him, and I let him love me, He will help me to rest, and he will help me to have peace, and he will help me to have life, and that's the whole point. And when he does that, I go to Beijing, and I stand on the Great Wall with my Freedom Crocs, and I proclaim the glory of the Lord to anyone who will hear. And for me, when I know the Lord, I'm fearless, and I speak God to everyone. And so that's my challenge to you today. What is most important to you in life? And if it's most important to you, then give everything you have to it. And if it shouldn't be the most important thing, still give all of yourself to it, and you'll find eventually it's the wrong thing, and it'll lead you to God, and then you'll have the right thing, and then you'll be going all the way in the right thing, you'll have freedom. So whatever you do, go with all your heart, you'll either find God, or you'll despair for life, and then you'll find God, and then you'll be free, and then it'll be a wonderful thing. So no matter what you do, go with all your heart, it will lead you to God, who's the whole point. Just don't get comfortable, don't get satisfied, or you'll be content, and you'll never be led to Christ himself. So that's the main message for today. I had a lot more illustrations. I had an illustration about Harvard City Mission, where I worked, which is just a story about how I was trying to find myself. Haley can relate to this, because when I was in college, college is a time when you're trying to figure out what is God's will for your life, or what does God want me to do? And so when I was going to Hartford, I was trying to figure that question out. But again, I just realized that even when I make a mistake, going to Harvard City Mission was a mistake because it's not what I wanted to do, but it led me to God anyway. So every path, if you do with all your heart, will lead you to him, which is a beautiful thing. Okay. And our last point will be 1 Corinthians 13, which is what my brother was referencing before. And this is kind of a funny story. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about what is the role of love and obedience. And this is how it works. We can give all of ourselves away, but if it's not in love and freedom, it earns us nothing. And so let me read the passage. It says this. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So I'll close by saying this. No matter what you do, if it's not done in love, it's not going to earn a reward. And it can't really be done in love unless you know God. And you can't really know God unless you try to obey and realize you can obey and call out on God, and he saves you and lives in you and transforms you and frees you so that you can be free and do what he wants in love. And that's the path to freedom and loving God. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. I know it's really short, but I just want to say thank you so much, and I will close us with a prayer. I had prepared some other things, but I'll save that for a different sermon with Pastor Audrey. She'll listen. All right. So let's pray to the Lord and close our sermon.